RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Kurt, you are destined to answer a question you don't want to answer.
Who do you trust more with the game on the line if it is on the line tonight in Santa Clara?
I'm going Brock Purdy here, and I know where we're going because Caleb has been great in the fourth quarter, bringing them back and making the plays in those moments. But if I had to pick one of these guys, I'm going with the vet that has been there, that's played in the Super Bowl. I'm going Brock Purdy.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Well, Kurt seemed to nail that prediction. Our segment with Kurt Warner is brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt Warner joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. So you were right. Both quarterbacks played well.
Hold on. First of all, unlike, you know, most people out there, especially on social media, picking one doesn't mean you don't like the other.
So let's
start there and say that it doesn't mean the other guy can't do anything and is not any good. It just, you pick one. And then another thing I'll say, when you say that I'm right, I actually really just believe Caleb ran out of time. I really believe if they have more time and more plays inside the 5-yard line, I would put, you know, I would put my money that Caleb would make a play if they had two more snaps. And they just ended up running out of time, only having one play once they got there down there tight. I thought Caleb did a great job on the last drive, doing exactly what he's done all year long. So again, it wasn't about picking favorites or whatever. I'm going to go with a veteran that I've seen that's been there. Caleb did well. Everybody else does, right? When you pick somebody, when you pick one, right? They give you a question like that, and you pick one. That just means, oh my gosh, you're either right or you're wrong, and you hate the other one, and blah blah blah. So I'm just letting you know, I like Caleb. I like what he's done. Like what he did last night. We'd go with Brock.
Sorry. Yeah, Kurt, look, this nuanced conversation with detail and thought is all well and good. We're just going to grab 10 seconds and clip it and put it out there and put it right on you. No, you're right about the last drive. That's the thing. If Luther Burden, who was terrific, and Colston Loveland, who was terrific, if they don't have drops on that last drive, you probably end up with more than just that one play, than that one option, to your point. But also, if Caleb hits Devin Duvernay with a ball. But look, so overall, we're thrilled that we seem to have a team that can hang in a game like that, which is something we never thought we were going to have. Hell, it's sort of like the game you and Aaron Rodgers had in 2010 in the playoffs, 51-45. Or you probably had a million games like that. The Bears don't hang in games like that last night, but Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams look like they can. That's exciting, isn't it?
I mean, it should be. It makes me more excited about just the playoffs in general. When you start to believe that every team or most of the teams that are in the playoffs truly have a chance to compete and truly could beat anybody anytime out. You know, when you look at the NFC, I'm not fully convinced on the winner of the South. But the rest of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, you know, especially with what the Bears have done and have shown us, you know, going to Philly and they beat Philly, going to San Francisco and took that thing down to the wire and played great and kept answering when they needed to answer. It makes you really feel, you know, come playoff time, especially with the fact that they're going to have a home game, at least one, that they can compete with anybody, that they could beat anybody. And, you know, I've been kind of reserved, you know, young quarterback and, you know, some issues there with the passing game and all of this stuff. But it seems like every week they just, you know, that they convince me more and more and more that, you know, they are a legitimate team come playoff time and that they're going to have an opportunity to beat whoever they play.
What did you like from Caleb yesterday?
I actually thought, you know, just overall, I thought he just did a really nice job of playing the game. You know, obviously you see the big throws, which, you know, which he seems to make every week. And, you know, that's, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't really surprise me anymore. You know, when he makes those throws, he's doing a really nice job with that. I mean, the savvy of the one, right, where you see veterans getting a team to jump off sides and then in those moments, you know, figure out a way to make a play down the field, did a great job with that one. But what I really liked as much as anything was the final drive and the fact that it wasn't just, you know, Caleb, you know, running around and making a Caleb play. You know, we've seen that at times in other drives where it's like, oh, and he buys time and then he runs around the corner and has a 30-yard touchdown run and they win a game. What I loved is he played the game. Like you said, you know, it was 5 yards here and 7 yards there and, you know, find the open guy and do this and manage the game down the field by playing the position. And I thought he did an excellent job of that. Like you mentioned, you know, both of those passes that were dropped are caught and out of bounds as well. So that's stopping the clock in those situations as well. And maybe gives them an extra play, maybe two plays down there, you know, in the red zone to maybe finish that thing off. But that was probably the most impressive thing for me is that, you know, I think we're all convinced that he can make the special plays. You know, but what you want to continue to be more convinced of is he can play, he can make the mundane, you know, the every snap type plays, the efficient plays that you have to make to take your team to the next step. And I thought he did that really well yesterday and specifically really well in that last drive.
We've never seen a game in the NFL regular season that was tied at 7, 14, 21, 28, and 35. I mean, what does it feel like to be in a game like that and have the pressure that you better get 7 every damn time?
It's fun, but obviously it's, you know, because you really do. What's fun about it is that you really feel like the ball is going to be in your hands. Like in games like that, you don't feel like, oh, we're just going to hand the ball off this drive. You know, we're just going to give it to a run. Like, you really feel, hey, this is going to come down to me making plays. And so it's so much fun to be in games like that. There's obviously some pressure where it's like, okay, we got to do it again. Like you mentioned that playoff game against Aaron Rodgers. You know, you could argue that was the best game I ever played. You know, I had more touchdowns than I did incompletions in that game. And I go back and think about that, and I think if I had one more incompletion – you know, we probably lose that football game, you know, and it's almost, you know, crazy to think about, but that's what it meant. And so you get locked in and then you leave the game feeling so good because you're like, but I made the play. I made every play we needed to get us, you know, over the top. And so those games are fun. You know, you have to remember I played arena football. And so that's what arena football was like. You never ran the football. You always scored 70 points, and it was easy for teams to come back. And so that nature, when you find games like that in the NFL that are rare, they are fun to be a part of as a quarterback because you know that you're going to have a say in whether you win or lose.
Kurt, we've been talking about the connection between play caller and quarterback. And I feel like around the league, we now have a bunch of quarterbacks and play callers that are matched up really well. And I felt like last night I was watching two of the best of that combination. What's it like when you and the play caller are kind of the same mind?
Well, I mean, that's, I always say it, that, you know, I don't think you can ever really become, you never reach your kind of full potential, or you never reach a team's full potential unless you do have a guy that designs plays and calls plays that sees it and understands it from the same perspective as your quarterback. And so that is so vital to have that. And I would say it's probably more rare than it is common to have that. You know, when I got to the Rams, I think that was one reason that I was able to have so much success early, was because the way Mike March designed offense, you know, fit my skill set. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about the pure progression versus the full field read type stuff. And I was so much more of the full field, you know, design things around coverage. I was really good after the snap, you know, the hot situations and designing, you know, ways to handle pressure and all of that stuff. And it was exactly how Mike saw it. And so where a lot of people thought, oh gosh, you know, who is this guy? And he's going to struggle, you know, when he gets in there, because, you know, he's never really played at this level. For me, it was, you know, easy from that perspective, because what we were going to be doing was what I had always done. And so it wasn't a, you know, a challenge. Like when I was in Green Bay after college and training camp with the Packers, they ran the West Coast system, and I hated the West Coast system. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't add up why we were doing certain things or why we were calling things the way we were. They didn't have hots. It was more, hey, if they bring pressure, just beat it with a throw. And I'm like, beat it with a throw? Like, give me a throw to beat it with. Like, what are we doing here? And so I was in that system, and I never liked it. I never felt comfortable in what they were asking me to do. And so I think that's kind of a great, you know, look at, you know, what goes on. So, you know, I talk about the pure progression all the time. I would hate to play in a pure progression system, because I don't think it would play to my strengths of processing information and working through things fast and knowing how to find defenders and work off of those guys. I think I would have struggled in a system like that. So I just think it is vital to get the best out of your quarterback, is to, you know, have a guy that sees it, understands it, and calls it, you know, the same way that the quarterback does.
Man, Kurt, it's great stuff. And because we're watching, I agree with Lawrence, we're watching two of them last night, and we've dissected Ben and Caleb all year long. What makes Kyle Shanahan as good as he is? And what do he and Brock Purdy seem to have together?
Yeah, you know, Kyle is obviously great at designing the run game and building his pass game off of that. And that's where his greatest strength is. I mean, there's a very few teams that when I pop on the tape that I get more excited to watch their run game and what they're doing than their pass game. You know, usually that part kind of bores me. But when I turn on the San Francisco tape, I'm turning it on to watch their formations and movements and how they set up their run game. And then I know their pass game is going to come off of that. I've always said that I think their pass game, especially their drop back pass game, can be a bit of a challenge for a quarterback. Like I'm not sure how comfortable I would be in, you know, that system, just the drop back part of it. In the play action part of it, I would love it. And obviously that's how they want to design it and where they want to start. But the drop back game is a little more of a challenge, because it doesn't always add up the way, again, we were talking about. Doesn't, you know, the way I see the game, it doesn't always add up that way. And they run a lot of pure progression stuff, and it doesn't always connect in my mind. Now, maybe if I sat down with Kyle and he told me why they were doing it, it would make more sense. But all that being said is Brock's, you know, understands, you know, different kinds of throws. And I think he understands the challenges sometimes in the offense, where when you watch them play, they love to attack inside. I mean, you saw it last night, right?
we lose Kurt?
Kurt?
I think we might have lost Kurt.
We lost him.
We can reestablish.
Yeah.
But the way that he's talking about Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Go ahead, Kurt. We lost you for a second, but we got you back.
Okay. Sorry about that. And so, you know, they throw a lot of things inside, you know, inside the number. You saw a bunch of those big ins. And oftentimes they don't necessarily have, you know, anything grabbing the underneath coverage. And so, you know, Brock's ability to layer the football, you know, get it up over those linebackers and drop it before the safeties when you're not really holding those linebackers, finding those windows and making those throws is really, really difficult. There are not a lot of guys in the league that can do that. And so I appreciate when I watch their scheme, the challenges of that scheme for Brock.
Mm-hmm.
But his understanding of what they're doing and what those limitations are and how he needs to play with anticipation and with that touch and with that timing is awesome, you know. And you know, he's really good when there's a challenging look at getting to his checkdowns. It very quickly gets to his checkdowns. And, you know, you see that a lot. You know, Christian, boom, I look at this. I don't like it. I know what the coverage and structure is and where this doesn't really work. Boom, I'm going to get it to Christian. And so, again, I think he understands what Kyle's trying to do, even the challenges of it. And he's got a skill set that fits some of those challenges and why he plays so well within that scheme.
Trying to figure out if Dennis Allen could have done anything different. Could he have blitzed more? Didn't blitz very much, but then Brock Purdy picked apart the zone as well. Then again, Jordan Love kind of picked apart the man a few weeks ago. So what is Dennis Allen to do against them?
I think it's hard when you've got a team that's clicking and playing really well. I didn't think they played great zone coverage either. I felt like they left a lot of zones open and I don't want to say they were easy opportunities, but obviously, like, when you can throw an in route, or it was really kind of a seam route more than it was an in, and he bent him in, and that can go for 40 yards. And you know, he was throwing some of those things, and they were wide open down the middle of the field. I just felt like the structure of the zone wasn't great. Do you challenge them with man? Because they don't necessarily have these great man beaters. You know, Kittle's out. Jennings is a good player. I don't know if he's a great player. Doesn't have great separation speed. Pearsall's good. Again, I don't know if he's great. So maybe you challenge them with man, but then you've got to cover Christian McCaffrey, and the things that they do there. And so I think they present lots of challenges with the structure of what they do up front, how they run the football, that you don't just want to be in man coverage all the time. But then off of that, you got to play really good in your structure on the back end, or they're going to be able to find those chunks and beat you with some big plays.
Kurtz, what's your assessment of Colston Loveland and Luther Burden?
I think Loveland is playing great. I mean, I think he's such a mismatch because of all the things that he can do. You know, great target for a quarterback of any stature, but especially a young quarterback because of his range and his athleticism. But I think he presents, and I've often said this, in this NFL, with the tight ends that we have, these athletic, big, fast tight ends, I think they're the biggest mismatch in football because, you know, they can play in line, and so these linebackers have to play the run or the safeties have to play the run and then try to keep up with these, you know, tremendously athletic, tight ends. You know, the one, I think it was Loveland, that had the little out and up down the sideline, where you pull the linebacker up with the play action, and then boom, he's behind you before you know it. But I think he's going to be a great target and, you know, great pawn piece for Ben Johnson, especially when they have Cole and him. They have two of those guys. Great. And I think Luther Burden is just kind of coming into his own. I think we all saw his talent coming out of college. Now he's getting more chance to shine a little bit, probably getting more comfortable in the offense. And the great play, I think it was in the last drive where they dumped it off to him on third down. And most guys get tackled there and they're stuck into a fourth down situation. And you know, he puts the brakes on and makes a move and moves the chains in that situation, so you're not forced into a fourth down situation, and his run after catch and big playability. So, I think they've got themselves two really good young players, rookie players that are going to be able to do some really good things in that offense.
Kurt, as always, we appreciate the education. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
That's great stuff, Kurt. And you sounded great on the call on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
Texans, Chargers. It was an interesting one. Great job over there. Thank you. It's Kurt Werner. Every time I see Luther Burden, who is a rack machine.
Rack machine.
Thank you. I think about how happy Antoine Randall L. was on draft night when they got him. That moment when they're like high-fiving in the draft room, you can see why, can't you?
That first is, round grade on a guy that you end up getting in the second round.
That is, he is so special after the catch.
The stop and start, the change of direction. He puts defenders in the blender when he's in the open field. It's really awesome to see.
It really is. And he's got a chance to lead them in receiving yards.
It's crazy.
They have four dudes in the 600s. They got Rome and DJ and Loveland, I think, and Burden and 600 some.
You don't know if Rome's going to even play on Sunday against the Lions.
No, we don't. But, man, Luther is just super special to watch, as he was last night.
He's such a dangerous weapon to have, because you can give him a little 10-yard hitch, and it can go for 35, 40 yards. Like, he's that guy. And watching him put defenders on skates.
Yeah, dude, he jukes people's boots, man. So he just leaves them there. It's
crazy. And then when he's got him in front of him, he leans into them.
Yep.
And he gets like an extra 4 or 5 doing that.
That's a good point. He's a lot more physical than I think I was expecting him to be.
Yeah.
That's right, Sean Sears.
Yeah, that's right. Sean Sears, full space command.
Full space command.
Get out of that man's way.
That's right.
Buterball's coming. He's coming, but he better stay out of your way.
He won't be in full space command, I can tell you that.
No, he won't.
Not today,
We got a lot of stuff to get to. There's a Jalen Johnson storyline that we haven't touched on yet that we need to get to.
Yeah, but we also want to take your phone calls, too.
Yeah, we do.
If you'd like to jump in and be a part of it and talk about what happened last night, maybe this is your first opportunity to do so. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to talk about that, and there's some stuff that Chris Collinsworth said that on its face might have sounded like hate. We have a couple of different theories on it. We'll share them with you next here on The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
Chicago at the 49ers 36. First down and 10. Williams under center, but Ungai remains the running back. And there was some movement up front. They snap it to Williams. They'll let the play go. Williams with a free play. Moving to his right. Plants his feet. Loads up. Going deep. Got a man. It's caught for the touchdown. Colston Loveland in the end zone. Williams with a free play rolled to his right, and he finds Loveland. A 36-yard touchdown, and the Bears are within one.
It's Caleb Williams' hard count. It's an Aaron Rodgers special right there. Hard count, getting the defense to jump, and you just have a free play. You wait until your receivers get downfield, and you hoist it up there. And Loveland just started on the right, went to the left, and then came back to the right once he saw Caleb Williams start to scramble.
And that was last night on Westwood One. Wait.
On Westwood One.
You're very good at that. How about the fact that they practiced that specific version of the cadence, that including yesterday morning in the walkthrough practice, they knew that they could get the defense to bite on it, on that specific version of the cadence, and then they made it happen. It's a very well-coached offense here.
There's no doubt about that. It's watching the evolution of it is absolutely fantastic. We appreciate you hanging out with us. It's Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got you until 6 o'clock. Adam Hoge will join us at 4 o'clock. Spiegs, what's happening at 5
o'clock? Special guest, mystery guest, Bears correspondent. No one has guessed it correctly yet. It is someone you know, listeners, who was at the game in the stands and got in touch. And we were like, we need to hear what your experience was at that game.
And if you'd like to call the show, you can. 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to jump in. Let's talk about Chris Collinsworth for a second. It was interesting. Here's what I have learned throughout my career of doing this. And you can take it with a grain of salt if you want, but it gives us an opportunity to bring you in behind the curtain a little bit. When the color analyst on a national broadcast for sure, local broadcasts a lot too, but on a national broadcast, says stuff about a player, usually it is rooted in what a coach or coaches have said to that analyst. It's why at the beginning of the season, when people were getting mad at Troy Aikman, it bothered me a little bit because Troy for sure is not some guy that just goes rogue and just says wild stuff.
To your point, there was a quote last night from Caleb about how he needed to throw a perfect runner's ball to somebody. Like, he used the phrase himself,
which is what Troy said back in week one, and it got people upset. And usually what happens is, and Spiegs and I know a whole bunch of play-by-play people and a whole bunch of analysts around the country. They get meetings with these coaches and players, and the really good ones have relationships with plenty of people on a coaching staff. So when they say stuff, usually there is something behind it that they have been told from the particular team.
All right, so with that as backdrop, from Lawrence Holmes' perspective, let's listen to Chris Collinsworth with about a minute and 20 left in the second quarter. Bears down 28-21. Caleb scrambles to his right, misses Colston Loveland badly.
He's taking a drop here. He's got time to look. Now scrambles sideline. Loveland too high. Incomplete.
That is part of the problem. Caleb Williams has played tremendous football. He's made the big plays, but he also has just big misses that look weird. Like, there's no way he should have been able to not hit this throw. Watch him cut break right out here, wide open. You don't even have to drill that ball. He is just wide open. You can't miss those kinds of plays and win championships.
Woof! Can't miss those kinds of plays and win championships. That one left a mark on me. We both wrote it down, made sure that Sean grabbed it. Win championships. Caleb's been really, really good the past few weeks especially, but it's still at a 57% completion percentage. And
And those of us that watch him every game know that there are reasons for some of that.
Of course. Sometimes there's drops, and sometimes there's intelligent throwaways, and all of that. But sometimes there's misses like that. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the way that Collinsworth described that.
I didn't either. And when you hear him say championship goals, like, that's something a coach would say to you.
He referred to it again, the inaccuracies. This is on the final drive, after Devin Duvernay was open on the right side, and Caleb did have a blitz in his face and was backtracking. Here's Collinsworth on that play.
Clock adjusted to 40 seconds remaining in regulation. Second and five. Bears trying to do it again. Here comes the pressure. Williams going to try to run away from it. He throws on the run, incomplete. A bounce to Duvernay.
So they bring the pressure. He does a great job getting out of it. Yes, he's fading away from this, but it is a wide open throw again. Going to be right in this area. You'll see all the pressure. He gets away. He's fading away from it. But there is a wide open wide receiver that's at least number three in this game that he has completely missed. I mean, like, by a lot.
And knowing Duvernay's speed, he might end up scoring on that play.
When you saw the replay, two of the defenders that were in front between Devin Duvernay and the goal line were running the opposite direction.
Yes.
I think he's probably got a touchdown on that play.
I agree with you. And I don't think that these are things that any Bears fan hasn't said in the moment when it happens, when you go, oh, man, I felt like he could have made that throw, because we've seen Caleb make the impossible. So when it comes to the mundane, when it comes to the ordinary, you're shocked at some of the things that you don't see him do.
He was 25 of 42 last night. There's still too many incompletions in there. That's all. It's just an honest assessment. Like, are there people out there, and you can hop in if you want, at 312-644-6767. There are people out there who thought Chris Collinsworth was too harsh on Caleb, because to your point that you led off saying it, you know, he has conversations with the coaches here. I'm sure that Ben Johnson would say, yeah, he's got to make those throws. I'm sure that Caleb Williams would say that.
Caleb literally said it after the game.
That he's got to make those throws. This is the gig. It's hard to be a quarterback, man.
It is.
It's just really damn hard. And you got to be really, really good. And some people, very, very few, are better in terms of accuracy. You know? Like, of all the quarterbacks who've played double-digit games, Caleb Williams is dead last in completion percentage. Of every quarterback that's played double-digit games. Number one is Drake May. He's the only one over 70%. He was unbelievable yesterday. Brock Purdy is at 69%, as is Josh Allen. Purdy tied for second. You know, like, you got to complete more of your passes and throw them in a spot that your guys can get them. So when you do have the drops or you do have the throwaways, they don't take away from the numbers as much as this does.
I know that what I'm fighting against here is a wave that is almost impossible to stop. Because I get that when a team is good, that people want every part of the coverage about that team to be good. I'm just saying that a lot of times it's felt like seeing some of the reaction from people when it's been a national analyst talking about the Bears quarterback, it seemed very defensive. And I get the idea of wanting to defend your quarterback, but it doesn't have to be so binary. Caleb played amazing yesterday. Like, he balled out. And if it weren't for Brock Purdy, he'd be someone that I'd be going deserves to be an NFC player of the week. Like, he played that well yesterday. But that doesn't mean that you can't point that stuff out. And to again, to kind of just go back to what happens in some of these production meetings, these are things that coaches will tell you. Having been on play-by-play broadcast, there's stuff that they tell you to inform you what they think of the player.
Yeah, I think it's true. But even if you're just watching the games, you're like, man, every once in a while, it's like, why? So look, but he's gotten more accurate. Caleb has gotten so much better, especially down the field. I mean, the touchdown to Burden is gorgeous.
Yes.
The touchdown to Loveland is gorgeous. And those are long throws. He had a bunch of them.
The DJ Moore throw last week.
Oh, man, the touch throw to Jahdae Walker on a 3rd and 14 last night. Like, there are a bunch of real good ones. It makes the bad ones that much more quizzical. Like, why is that happening?
And that's what I felt like I was hearing from Collinsworth last night, that it doesn't quite makes sense, because you see a guy that does so many out of this world stuff that you go, man, the worldly stuff, if he were to able to just kind of do that even a little bit more consistently,
yep,
then the sky's the limit for what it is that he is as a player in this league. But, you know, I just wanted to point that out.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong. I think that there are people who don't like Caleb Williams nationally. I truly do. I don't think it's
Ladies
anyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shady McCoy has entered the chat.
Well, now he's turned his attention to Love. Like, that was his thing, that Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love and whatever. I don't think it's any of the guys that are calling the games nationally. I think they're enemies of the state, but I don't think it's the guys that are analysts of the national games that are being broadcast. 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to talk Bears. We've got the phone lines open. The next segment is yours. It's Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
If you were watching this game on TV like other NFL players were, how would you describe this whole game, the way you guys, both teams are scoring like this?
Yeah, I think we've proven who we are. We'll fight. And, I think we're a team to be reckoned with.
Caleb Williams talking about this team and where they're at. They lose the game to San Francisco, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. So now we're in what, 11 personnel?
Yeah, we're in a single Tyler formation.
Okay, because we got Buterbaugh here, but right. Baby T is, who knows what Baby T is doing?
Yeah, and who's the Durham Smythe of Tylers? Like, we don't have a third Tyler anywhere in the building or in the company.
That's true.
For that matter, so.
Is there anyone, Buterbaugh, is there anyone that would qualify as a Tyler if we went to 13 personnel?
Boy, I feel like if we just go down to the lobby and we could find a Tyler because it's a pretty common name.
Yeah,
I think
some Tyler somewhere around here, right?
I think we could just pick and choose.
It's okay. It's like finding Cadence in the NHL.
Right.
No,
you're right.
Yeah.
Or walking around downtown Scottsdale. There's
Cadence.
Any sort of Aiden name, any. So I even saw a Ryden, and I was like, "That's enough. That's enough of that."
Hey, come on! Just because white people are getting in on the action of making up names for our kids,
I never said they were white.
Fun fact: I actually do know another Tyler Buterbaugh.
You do?
He might be my cousin. I don't know, but I could give him the sub in.
All right, then we can be in 13 personnel at some point.
Okay.
It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. We're taking your phone calls 312-644-6767.
We're on to something here, though. By the way, we'll put a pin in that for later in the week.
Out in the Skokie, it's Elliot. Hey, Elliot, you're on the Score.
Hey guys, yeah, love the show. Lawrence, you mentioned that Chris Collinsworth was pretty hard on Caleb a couple times. Layla in the show earlier mentioned that Ben Johnson, made Caleb, really figure it out during training camp and threw him into the deep end, so to speak. And, from what I see, I think Caleb learns best from quote unquote, I guess, like tough love. You know, he's just going to keep getting better and better and better. You know, I think it's unrealistic to think that we're going to win every regular season game. But, yeah, I mean, maybe we go inside Max Crosby in the offseason if he doesn't go to the NBA. But, yeah, just really, really excited for the future of this team.
Good. Appreciate it. He's a little bit all over the place, but he's excited and he's feeling the buzz.
Sounded very Canadian, too.
Yeah. Do we take Canadian calls? Tyler, now that you're here, put a limit on the Canadians, one per hour.
All right, I'll stop them.
Okay.
Let's not, you know, close our borders. It's fine. Dave's out in Darien. Hey, Dave, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thanks,
and,
Dave.
You betcha. No, I'm not from Canada. No, but I want to make a comment about Collinsworth as well. I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think that I draw the analogy with Caleb in Chicago and any other city. It's like I'm a terrible guy in fantasy football to trade with because I just love my own players, right? And we're just protective of Caleb. So, you know, we can criticize him at home. We can tell him he should not miss the ordinary throws. That's been my biggest criticism, along with holding the ball. But he's done a lot better at that. And I think if you compare him to like a Mahomes misses ordinary throws. He's not going to have the accuracy of a Breeze or a Rodgers or Brady. I don't think he's wired that. He's going to get better at it. And we've seen just incredible progression of him doing this spectacular throwing guys.
He's
open.
A big play hunter.
Yeah, he is. You know, we talked about it at the time a little bit, but like the Howie Long comp of John Elway. It's pretty good.
It's a very good comp.
It's pretty good and pretty fun, really, when you think about it, because that's a big play hunter who could make crazy things happen with his legs and be real fun, but would sometimes
giant
miss
arm.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's okay. We can try not to get distracted. And when Caleb shows out, it's easier to not get distracted. Drake May is absurdly accurate. You know, you could get yourself in trouble if you start comparing. I mean, even Brock Purdy, who is a seventh-round pick and Mr. Irrelevant, is absurdly accurate and was actually brilliant on the move yesterday as a runner and as an improviser with the arm.
It's interesting that you say that because I feel like there's a pattern forming, but we'll get to that later on
right.
in the show.
But like, we don't need to compare Caleb to those guys. It's just that he was number one overall and you were promised jetpacks in your parlance.
I do think that the jetpack assembly line is starting to put some products out there.
I will sign up for this version of the jetpack. I will. I will strap on this jetpack and fly around the stratosphere. Thank you.
Isn't Caleb like 130 yards or something away from the all-time passing record?
For the Bears?
Yeah.
Yes, for the single season pass. Yes, he's probably going to pass Eric Kramer. And he's got an outside shot at 4,000. But he's also...
I don't even think it's that far outside.
270, right?
Yeah, he needs 270 against a Lions defense that gives up a whole lot of yards. A lot.
Yeah, 270. He could absolutely get that done if they're going to play. By the way, Justin Herbert is not going to play for the Chargers this weekend.
But that makes sense because he's been hurt, and he's been carrying around a bad hand and a bad back for weeks. So that makes sense.
But their seeding could be anywhere from 5 to 7.
Right.
Depending on how things go.
You're going on the road no matter what.
Right. It's a different thing between what the Bears' decision is.
I play everybody.
We'll discuss.
Hey, Don, you're on the score.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
Good.
Okay. Look, guys, I know I'm going to have to move out of the state of Illinois once I say this, but I've been watching the Bears all year long, and, guys, I just don't see an 11-5 team in the Bears. They're closer to an 8-8 team because to win 5 or 6 games with less than 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter 6 times in 1 year – I mean, is that because you're good or because you just lucky or just fortunate?
I think that it's because, look, it happens all the time. Like the example that I'll keep giving you is last year's Chiefs team. They kept winning one score games. At one point, wasn't it like 13 in a row or something like that? It happens. Now you have to be ready and prepared for the pendulum to swing back the other way. The games that the Bears have won this year, they might lose.
Well, they lost
next year.
They lost two of them, too. I mean, but hopefully next year you're better personnel-wise and you're better in terms of the quality of play within the scheme and you don't have to be in that spot. Maybe you don't start with 2-3 and outs. like you did last night. Maybe you have the ability to pressure a backup tackle named Austin Pleasance, who comes in for Trent Williams last night. And, you know, maybe Montez Sweat is more able to get to the quarterback, or maybe your first round draft pick as an edge rusher or an absolute beast of a defensive lineman.
I will say Austin Booker had a hell of a game.
He did. He did. The guy. I'm not frustrated with Austin Booker. Javon Dexter's just a guy.
Yeah, so I've been trying to tell people for 3 years.
I know. It's just so they need help on that D line quite a bit. No, they need a lot of but next year maybe you're better personnel wise and you don't have to be in these kinds of situations as much.
But even a team like the Eagles is in these types of games, and from a personnel standpoint,
yeah,
they're pretty stacked, right? Like, the league is meant to run like this.
Dude,
there's no rhyme or reason to any of it.
The NFL has mastered parody.
Yeah.
They've absolutely mastered it.
And every week we try to figure it out, but it's really difficult to figure some of this stuff out. And it's also fun. It's also fun to go, wow, well, the breaks are finally going the Bears' way for once.
How about this? 20 of the last 23 years, at least one team has won their division after finishing in last place the year before.
This is our concern, dude.
Worst to first.
It happens all the time.
20 of 23 years.
And it's happened twice this year, right? Bears and Patriots?
Correct.
It happens all the time.
Yep.
It's a weird thing. Let's get Adam Hogue's perspective on all of this. You can check out Adam on the Hogue and John's podcast, the folks over at CHGO. We'll get his thoughts on the Bears and Caleb and what we saw last night from Brock Purdy next on The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.